So that's you know, so it's not as simple as you would think, as I would think.
Okay, I have a few questions.
Go ahead.
And the other question
Grace
you mentioned.
Grace wants to add to.
Is anybody keeping track of time for anything?
Well, yeah, I am.
I'm willing to lend you my
go ahead.
Timing device if you like.
I have a comment to that.
If your comment is about the pension, go ahead, and then I have another question.
Okay. So, in doing some research, I found a link to a past audit of a pension plan. It's old. It's from 2009 to 2010. But it may be that there is a fund of set-aside money for the pension plans. And the last that my research tells me, there was $850,000 in that fund. And there's no reason, you know, we have to locate where it is. I mean, you know, our dysfunction is so amazing that we may not be in as bad a shape as we think we are. So what we need to do is we need to really do a forensic audit of everything having to do with the pension plans and figure it all out. There's a problem. There are major problems with the pension plans because the actual agreements, first of all, from what I've been able to tell, the pension plans are optional, or at least one of them, the big one, is optional per the contract with the pension plan itself, the wording inside the pension plan. However, we've made agreements with two unions, the KPFK union and the KPFK union. And those give us obligations to fund pension plans. But the two union agreements are contradictory. And that has to all be straightened out legally. So this is a big mess. We don't really totally know how much we owe. We don't know how much we have already set aside for the pension plans. I will tell you something, though. The major obligations, if we do owe money to the pension plans, will be from KPFK and KPFA, because KPFA and KPFA have had the highest number of employees. So this is not something to beat up the poorer stations, WBAI, WPFW, and KPFT, about, because their financial obligation to this pension plan problem is going to be much lower than KPFA and KPFK. So it's a big, huge, yucky situation. It needs trustees. That's what we're having this committee for. It needs a new, good pension plan administrator. It needs for the audit of the pension plans to be completed. It needs a forensic analysis of the past finances having to do with it, and it needs legal renegotiation of the two union contracts, because a lot of our liability is penalties for not adhering to union contracts, and they have to be resolved because they're contradictory, and you can't have two contradictory union contracts because it's one pension plan. So all of this has to be straightened out. It's a big, yucky mess.
Is the pension firm we hired going to do that?
It's
the pension.
It's a cluster of something. Mr. Lexa, you got the floor.
So, Jan? You also mentioned the development of a national handbook. Is that a programmer's handbook, or what type of handbook is that specifically?
Employee handbook.
Like paid employees, volunteer?
What? I believe both paid and unpaid.
Uh-huh. And is that being sourced from an existing handbook or written from scratch?
It was started with the existing one. What our situation is, I believe that one was approved in 2008, I believe. Then in 2000, I believe it was 14, there was a handbook that the PNB said, we approve this subject to being reviewed by an attorney. But it never got approved by an attorney. So then that is what the attorney has looked at and has revised, and I think it's been, has it been sent out to people?
No.
And it will be sent out to the PNB to review, and then the PNB will approve it.
It's going to be
hopefully
staff paid and paid volunteer programmers. Yeah. It's going to encompass all of those. Okay. We're not leaving anything.
Okay, thank you. Roberta, you're next.
Yes, I'm really just saying two things. What I think I'd just like to have on the record. The idea of a national programming approach is certainly a good one to be exploring. We are a national network. But I really pray, encourage, beg that we not just draw upon the same pool of people who are doing our local programming, which draws extremely sparse listenership in major markets. And if we're going to have someone deciding how to go wide with what we have, and I'm not counting people that we our national programmers like Tom Hartman or Amy Goodman, that's their material. We need an outside person who's used to working in and growing media markets, and we don't seem to have that in-house. So that's one thing I want to say. The other thing about the mailing costs having to do with what when our election comes up. If there is anything, I know from the bylaws there are certain categories of transactions that need to have the approval of the full membership. And I don't know what things we may or may not be looking at, whether it ties into unions or penalties or closing something. If there's any possibility of something that would need to be put to the vote of the full listenership, and we may not have that now, but if we get the sense it's coming, please be sure to piggyback a separate ballot entry in the same mailing. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I just want to note that we're about double the time for this item on the agenda, but we do have time so far as our time certain goes. So I've got two more people on the stack. I'm going to caution people to please be brief in questions and answers so we can move on to our treasurer's report. Paulina, you're next.
I'll be very brief. My question has three parts. I'm new, so this might be obvious information. So how many spots are up for re-election this year on this board? Whoever can answer that. Then also, you mentioned, someone mentioned hiring, Grace, I think Aaron talked about it, a national election supervisor. Will there be local election supervisors to be hired as well? Like there was the last time around, and then that person, I believe, resigned, and we had some trouble. So what's the budget for that, and what is the what's the plan for local election supervisors? And then finally, the National Election Committee, I think I was told that it hasn't met yet. Does it have oversight over the local operations conducted by, you know, the National Election Supervisor and any local election supervisors to be hired?
Who would like to take those election questions?
Okay. It's the job of the National Election Supervisor to hire the local election supervisors. The National Elections Committee has not even met this year yet. It's been populated, but it hasn't met. The National Election Committee is an ad hoc committee. It's not in the bylaws. It has no power to control the election at all. It's only advisory and nothing else. So, because, as I mentioned, there is a conflict of interest of everybody on the local station boards and the national boards. So, in terms of your who is up for re-election on this board, I mean, of the people here, I think you should raise your hand if you're up for re-election. I mean, I'm up for re-election.
It's half the membership.
Whose
term is ending?
No, it isn't.
Yes,
right.
Whose term is ending?
No, you are up for re-election, but you don't want to run again.
No. Yeah, but you should raise your hand anyway.
Your
term
is
up.
Your term is up.
I thought it was up.
Right, raise your hand. Your term is up.
Yeah, three staff members and nine listener sponsors. It's always 50% for each election. Yeah.
Who's next? Am I next?
Michael?
Are you pardoned?
Am I wrong?
Have you finished?
No, you're right.
Lauren, you're up next.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. You're next.
I like to caution about consulting and hiring an employee benefits firm without meeting and conferring with the union. I believe
the union is very involved.
Okay, then that's fine.
Okay, Fernando?
Very quickly, back in the day when the U.S. government decided to begin the fragmentation of Iraq, Pacifica had a national program. It was called Peace Watch.
Yeah.
It was, I believe, 10 minutes of each one of the five stations. Someone in each one of the stations, someone that was hired to select the best 10 minutes, anti-war 10 minutes of the day. And someone in Washington put the five pieces together, and it requires money. If we could do such a thing using volunteers, we could save ourselves a lot of money, and Roberta's input is quite wise and very on point. Would you also consider having someone that is outside, currently outside Pacifica, to be part of that national programming, because given what we have now and our lack of listenership, it shows that we don't have the best programming to offer locally. Why should we dream about having the best programming for the nation? Just some food for thought, and I'll be more than happy to help out if it comes to having a national programming committee. I'd like to volunteer for that, given my experience on that area.
Thank you, Fernando. Mr. Ken Aaron, Treasurer's Report. You're up next.
Okay. So I'm just going to briefly review the last meeting of the National Finance Committee, where the IED, Tom Livingston, attended with a person from NET, NETA, which stands for National Educational Telecommunications Association. It's a nonprofit that does accounting for other nonprofits. I believe they have at least 30 different radio stations that they're working as their clients, so they're familiar with the technology. They use an accounting software called Sage, S-A-G-E, which is very similar to and friendly to Great Plains, and she stated that it will not be a great task to move data from Great Plains to Sage. And they also have four staff members that are familiar with Great Plains. And they have, I think it was a, maybe Grace can remember. I don't remember if it was 35 or staff or.
I think they have something like between 29 and 31 staff.
Right.
And so they have a lot. So if whatever, they're very flexible, and they can because they're a larger firm, they can meet our needs because of their the number of staff.
Sorry, they can assign two of their employees to deal with the, especially the two radio stations that they starting for the Great Plains. So she said that they have expert on Great Plains that would be able to assign them for that role, to get the finance going in the two stations.
Right. So, yeah, that's to bring about a consistency where every station or, and every business using unit is using the same accounting software. And she's going to be coming to KPFK. I don't know if she's already here or not.
This week.
Wednesday or Thursday. So it'll be buzzing around. Very pleasant person over the air. Her name is Anita. And I guess she'll be interviewing and discussing things with the personnel at KPFK that's involved in accounting and MEMSIS. Okay, so that was it. Oh, I had put up motions at the NFC meeting, and none of them succeeded, but these are still issues that need to be addressed. Is when money comes in, I'm going to say this because it's of interest. When somebody bequeaths $100,000 or $2 million or $20 million for Pacifica, and it comes from KPFT, some Texas billionaire wants to give money to Pacifica, writes a check to Pacifica, does all that money go to Pacifica under the control of the national board or the national office, or should KTL a KTLX, KPFT, have some control of it. Or, you know, obviously that's Texas. The same thing would apply here, New York, L.A., and people's attitude on this changes depending upon whether or not there's a current money in coming in from somebody. So I was trying to get policy set for that, but there was just too much disagreement on which way it's supposed to go. And the basic question is, to bring up, maybe other people want to discuss this. Here's the story. If KPFK gets $100,000 bequest, but it's going to Pacifica, and KPFK says, oh, that's good, that pays off our central services. No, does it or doesn't it?
No,
and the national office is very concerned because the national office wants to continue to be able to get its dedicated amount of money, you know, the 20% every month, regardless of major donors and so forth. So there's two viewpoints on that, because the station may have worked to elicit that donation, and now they're not getting any consequence for it. So that didn't get resolved. Also, we have to get around to reevaluating what the central service amount is. Instead of calculating every month, a couple of years ago, they said, well, let's figure out an average, and we'll update that average. They haven't updated it in a while. So it varies from station to station. But another thing at the National Finance Committee meeting, the lady from NEDA said they will work on that. They'll contribute to that. So that's good. They'll come out to figure out how much each station should contribute or how to calculate what they should contribute to the central services. And what's the third thing? We almost got this passed, which is KPFK, and this pertains to us. The national office last in 2017 had an emergency, and they came and they took some funds out of one of our accounts to pay off that emergency. And if they're employing these the then personnel at the national office, without naming any names, to please keep an accounting of that, they said, please leave me alone. It's our money. It's all our money, and we spend it the way we want. So there was no accounting of that. So there's agreement that there should be accounting. But again, it comes into that button of, like, where does the control belong? Is it all in the national office, or is it all in the local station? Is this just a light franchise? I mean, a light association of people with a common interest? Or are these, like, franchise stations? So
thank you, Mr. Aaron.
Okay, so now I'm going to that was just the national. I have to go and talk about our.
Okay, I want to note that we're about 5 minutes, 4 minutes away from needing to hear public comments because of time certain.
Okay, great. It's much less than 4 minutes. So in our finance committee meeting, the business manager was there. His name is Barry Brooks. Everybody should know he's doing the books for KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW, and he has been for about.
Wow.
He has been all the time he's worked here. So basically, KPFK is doing very well. Looking at the first two quarters, that's half a year, we grossed $1.8 million in listener support. Our target was $3.4 million for the year. So if half the year we got $1.8, if it goes on, if it just doubled, it would be $3.6, right? That's above our target of $3.4. So it was $1.8 million in, $1.4 million out for expenses, plus another $250 out for central services. And there was a rebate from depreciation of $25,000. And, you know, that's higher mathematics, the thing with the depreciation thing. But it means that our net for the first half of the year was $129,686. So we're in the black. And the bad news, or the misfortunate news, is we've already had 122 days of fund drive. Mm. And the last fund drive, of course, came in above what we had targeted, but that's because it was extended and so forth.
Next one's in 16 days.
Yeah, okay. So the other thing is, okay. Aniel is putting in new technology, or looking at utilizing some technology. He's working with some people at Microsoft. to facilitate committee communication back and forth. And the other thing is he was aware of is that KPFA has is using a software that replaces or substitutes for MEMSIS. So we're going to investigate that. But that's all really national office decisions. But of course, we're going to support that. And if national, you know, doesn't, then the station's going to have to bypass it because MEMSIS is really like a John Wayne circle the wagon software. It's way too much overhead in terms of, it's just outdated, that's all. Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, yeah. We reviewed the staff situation to make sure that management isn't like, you know, well, it's on the side, increasing the staff profile. And it was calculated at 24 full-time equivalencies. That means if you add up all the part-time, you got 24 full-time staff members, which is in the range of what we've had for the last 5-10 years. And the general manager, I haven't read his report. I assume it was distributed to everybody in the LSB. But he said he did a survey of the programmers. Only less than half of them are interested in doing anything for the fund drive. And half, 45% want to participate, 45% might want to participate, 10% say, please leave me alone. And the issue on that, being pragmatic, is not to look at it and say, hey, everybody's got to pull the weight. You don't want somebody wasting airtime if they're not going to be effective on the fund drive. You know, get out of the way, let somebody do it. So, but I'm just very pleased that this new manager is very involved in management and technology, and he's looking at the right areas that have to be addressed to improve our income and increase our listenership.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aaron. At this time, we need to go to public comments. Yes, please.
Lita. All my questions have to do with the money, of course. All my questions have to do with the money.
Yeah, but it's not a question and answer from the public. You're making your public comments at this time.
Okay.
And hopefully you will
not
be
questions. The first question I had was whether currently all of Pacific, all the stations are using Great Plains.
No, they're not.
Yes.
Not the new.
No, he said that Great Plains is going to be now switching over to Stage.
No.
Sage.
During the report, it did say that all 7 units are using the new version of Great Plains. That was
and they're
the
not switching. And
Mr. Alexander.
I understood that they were going to be switching over to this other one.
No, Sage integrates with Great Plains, is what he said.
The account works well.
Okay. Then the other thing was the money that comes in from donors, large donors, small donors. My understanding is that the donor, even though it's to Pacifica, if it's to Pacifica, don't they have the right to restrict it to wherever station they want? If someone is giving $1 million, they have the right, my understanding is, to give it to a particular station, and that it shouldn't be going to national. That's the law. That's the way it works. And so I'm a little confused as to whether that's not happening. So
some people don't have designated.
Okay. And then the other question what I wanted to know is, I understand that the Finance Committee meetings are public. I'd like to go to the next one.
Whenever. All of our meetings are posted on kpftx.org, and it's also on KPFK splash page.
So at the bottom of the page.
So if you go to kpfk.org, you will see the
scroll
Finance
down.
Committee meetings
it's all at the bottom.
Posted.
Yeah. Okay.
They do meet on
the committees.
Yes, Mr. Noble.
Okay. I also have a series of questions, starting with the loan. I'm wondering if the National Board has any plan for repaying the $3-some-odd million, and if so, is that being allocated to the different stations to raise above and beyond their normal operating expenses for each year over the course of the loan? to cover that loan? And if not, what are the other plans for meeting that? I'm curious around the whole question. I think it's very desirable that there is a CPA firm now functioning essentially in the CFO and national financial staff position. I'm wondering how that, however, accommodates to any requirements in the bylaws or the Articles of Incorporation for the position of a CFO. And also, I think a couple of years ago, the board designated the CFO have a role in overseeing and selecting business managers at the individual stations. I'm wondering how that's being handled. Around the question of national programming, I think it is very desirable that Pacifica develop national programming. I think it should not be the syndication of local programming to other stations. I think that's a death knell. So I think that, as I've said many times to this board and the national board, Pacifica is in the financial capital of the United States, the political capital of the United States, the energy capital of the United States, the entertainment capital of the United States, and the digital capital of the United States. And we have to be able to tap the movements and energy and creativity in those areas and develop them into national programming that creates news and creates buzz, not just picking a few items from different stations. I think that I'm wondering what the vision is for national programming. I think it should be authentically national programming. There was a capacity that the media once had to focus on issues and create debate. Going back to CBS covered labor in the fields and farm labor and made that a national issue. Pacifica is the only medium at this point in the United States that might be able to do that, given where the rest of the corporate and even public media are. So I'm wondering to what extent Pacifica has any idea about doing that, and especially in terms of partnering with other visual media producers. I'm thinking about Brave New Films and others, people who are, looking at major controversies. In terms of the elections, I have a question about historically there's been major flaws in the election process, particularly here at KPFK, but at other stations as well, in terms of Spanish language broadcasters, Spanish language members, and I'm wondering what attention is being paid to making sure that people are not disenfranchised again as they have been in the past.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Noggin. Jonathan, you said that Great Plains now has updated the new one, the new version. Okay, but that does not answer the question that was also asked here by the lady here. Are all each unit working on the new updated version? Yes or no?
Yes, Bella.
But? Yes, but? Or yes,
there was yes. No yes, but when he gave his director's report, he said all units were using the new Great Plains.
Okay, because I heard something about two stations now that will be geared or will have concerted attention by this lady, Anita, to be then worked on individually to
the
schedule.
The manager here in Los Angeles, Barry, mm-hmm. also performs business management functions for East Coast stations.
Okay.
In Great Plains.
Okay.
And so, Nita's going to work with the New York station, for example, to get a business manager there who's working on Great Plains.
I got you now.
But to be clear, all seven Pacifica units are now using Great Plains.
The new updated.
There you go.
Excuse me, please. And I am thrilled that MEMSIS may be done away with, that monster. Okay, then Jan Goodman. No, let's go to Grace Aaron. I find it so disingenuous, something so incredibly important. Paulina's question recently was, how can we even possibly entertain in any terms of any agreement whatsoever, whether financial or not, to sell production credits where an outside outfit will start to infringe upon the programming, the laws as they are in our bylaws and our articles of incorporation of our mission, that we are non-commercial. this will alter our entire future, may alter our entire future, to sell these credits to advertise on air. And you don't have a response? Now, you know that this is incredible. Okay. The other thing is, Jan, where's Jan? Jan is not here. So I was going to ask if, you know, Michael brought up a very good point, that if we're going to be dealing with national programming, we certainly do not want to do syndication again. The syndication bullshit has killed us. And it's the same syndication that has forced other stations, especially the affiliates, to pick up people like Ian Masters, to pick up certain people like that. And programming that we tell them, this is what you should be airing. No, this is not right. Let's listen to the way that Michael explained it. We need really, really good national program. We can tap into it. We have the resources and all of that. Okay, if we wait, Kaiser pointed out, if we wait 2 more months to hire a national executive director, how can we are holding siege our election process? How are we going to have elections at the end of the month like this? We might as well move it on to 2019, right? Then how much time do we have? It's going to make it hectic and chaotic, especially bringing in a new national person to handle the elections. That person then needs to hire the local the local managers. Do you know how much time that takes? This is really crazy. And if we are going to be doing a new handbook, man, I'm really curious how many revisions that new handbook has had, because we've had 2 or 3 versions over the years. So we need to be vigilant on that one. And how soon can, what is the expected term to pay back the $3.7 million loan? I want to know, what is the expected, realistically, paid back term? Because I know there's a clause of confidentiality, given that some sort of under the table agreement imposed by this lending institution. I want to know what the payback specific timetable is, please. Thank you. And finally, if we have 24 staff, equivalent staff at KPFK, that's unacceptable. That is unacceptable. We need to revisit this.
I think there's a minute or two left. I was reminded of one other thing I wanted to talk about. Ken, you may remember you and I were once on a national board committee that was looking into the possibility of getting a package of software that integrated the membership with the finances. And we started to do a questionnaire to the membership directors, business managers, and other national financial staff. And I'm wondering if anything has ever moved forward on that, because I think it's highly desirable. If people are talking about replacing MEMSIS, I think having something that could integrate with the financial software, so that because all the financial data that goes through MEMSIS about people's contributions is completely incapable of interfacing with the financial software. It's one of the reasons that the finance is such a mess. And also, it would give us the potential to send renewal letters and invite people to increase their donations or renew their membership. I think it would be highly desirable.
Good day. The idea of national programming is interesting. First off, I'd like to say I'm very skeptical of the idea of hiring a national program director, because I think that job would essentially function as a patronage job, as a kind of a gift from the dominant faction to one of their buddies. So I would be very skeptical. We did have a national program director more than 10 years ago, but when our finances declined, we just got rid of that. And apparently it was so easy to get rid of, nobody even remembers it. So that tells you something. Also, who has the authority to put national programming on the air? The last time the PNB passed a motion requiring some consistent programming. It was the Spanish language daily one-hour program motion that was passed numbers of years ago. And as I recall, only one station actually instituted it. The other stations just ignored it. So how do you put a national program on the air? Who has the authorities to say, put this on the air? Does the PNB have that authority? Maybe. Do people follow the PNB? Sometimes. I don't know why. So if we put together a national program, we'll have to be daily for it to be worth anything, unless you create 60 minutes. So if a national program is daily, you have to have paid people. You can't have volunteers working 5 days a week. So that's a minimum of two people, a host and at least one paid producer, and plus volunteers and who knows how much. So that's budget authority. So that's a challenge. I don't know why syndication is so bad. Some people say, oh, we don't want to syndicate. Why can't we take a show that works and make it national and give them more money? I'm sure you're looking at all those things. I don't see why that's so bad. That's how other stations work. When Tom Brokaw does well in L.A., they put him national. That's where all these national broadcasters come from. They started from local, and then they said, well, let's make them national because people like them. And also remember, making a good radio program takes a long time. It took Democracy Now! A long time to get to be what it is now.
You said
we need to put together great shows. Well, that's fine, but a good show just takes a long time to build an audience and to find out what they're doing.
It's hard to make. Pacifica,
so I hope you're getting buy-in from the other program directors so that when you say, here's the syndicated show, this show, they'll say, great, and it won't come as like a shock out of the blue to them. So I hope the program directors at the other stations are interested in it as the committee members are, as you guys are. So I wish you luck, and I hope we hear more reports about it in the future.
I'd love to hear you, John, on the air.
Okay. Yes, we are at time certain.
I've got a motion.
I'm willing to entertain a motion to adjourn. Are there any objections to the motion?
Yes, I object.
Okay, so a motion.
Vote on the motion.
A motion to adjourn is not debatable. We must vote on it, yay or nay.
Okay.
So, Mr. Secretary, let's take a vote on the motion to adjourn.
All those in favor of adjourning, please raise your hand high and keep it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All those opposed to adjourning, 1, 2, 3, 4. Abstaining.
Okay.
So it's 13 to 4 in favor of adjourn.
Okay, this meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much for your participation.